Well, all this has me thinking that, you know, Jesus himself asks a lot of questions about words themselves. And so an obvious example is when he's asking his disciples, who do men say that I am? And then we get all of the, you know, famously Peter finally says, you're Son of God and all of this. But here's, you know, we ended up talking with Jesus as a teacher with students who understand. But he's a teacher that's asking very probing questions. So I wonder what your thoughts about that are.
Yeah, he asks, you know, who do men say that I am? And then he eventually says, who?
I'm so sorry.
And then he eventually says, who do you say I am?
Right.
So, you know, he's asking not only about the hearsay, well, which appropriate word for Mark.
Right.
But then, you know, how have you taken in me?
Mm-hmm.
And now what words are you going to say about me?
Right. No, I never even thought about it that way, because you think about it just like, we're so familiar. We're like, Peter, just say who he is. But he's asking like, what words would you use about everything you've saw so mm-hmm. far? Oh, yeah.
And then I sort of think of the transfiguration
mm-hmm.
as the flash of insight that we all have experienced when we thought we understood something,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't really. And suddenly we do at a much deeper level. And so it's kind of the culmination of what Jesus has been trying to get them to understand. It's, you know, it's almost like Jesus saying, I'm a metaphor. What you see is a metaphor. Now I'm going to show you the real meaning of it.
Right. And this, I love this more than you can even imagine. Because, see, the thing is like, what people, look, okay, I'm going to give an example and then get around to this, sorry. So people, you know, traditionally in Catholic theology, marriage is a contract, okay? And people hear that and they go like, really, all marriage is a contract? Well, that's because, like, we go about and we make contracts with, like, credit card companies and, like, rip them up and throw them away in 2 weeks. The problem's with us, right? We treat contracts like they're nothing, whereas they used to mean everything. They were made in blood and everything like that, right?
Yeah.
Well, the word metaphor works the same, because we're bound to say, like, oh, he's just a metaphor? You're going to say that? But what you're saying is, like, no, metaphors are this... It's like this, this is where language finally comes alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we sort of see, you know, you're calling it the eye language, but it's like the light behind language. That's why, you know, I think sometimes people will just look at poetry and it, like you said, just looks like words on a page. But you know you're doing poetry right, where it's like, I never thought a word, that word could mean that. And it's like a transfiguration. That's like a perfect way to put it.
And, when you are talking about how intelligent a person is and you're using verbal measures, what really separates the men from the boys, so to speak, is that transfiguration of language. The figurative use of language is takes another kind of intellectual ability from just our kind of everyday use of language.
Oh, yeah, and yet again, another point I haven't thought of that's great, because people confuse clarity with just abject simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, there's some things that aren't clear until we speak about them figuratively. And again, this goes back to like the disciples and their confusion, because if you hear someone speaking figuratively and you're not up to it, they just sound like confusing goofballs,
yeah.
Right? You're like, what do you mean, love is like a river or whatever? But when you grow with it, all of a sudden you were like, this is the most penetrating analysis of whatever it is that we're talking about. And this is what the disciples are just running into with Jesus the whole time. They know that he's above them, but he confuses them so profoundly, and then he won't let up. This is an interesting thing about Jesus too that we're talking about. Jesus isn't necessarily interested in Mark in giving them answers. He's far more interesting in asking the kind of questions that will bring about what he's looking for in the disciples.
Mm-hmm. And if you think about all of the things that we need to be able to express, even things that are ineffable, in this, there's no way to do it if words are not able to mean things way beyond their most basic meanings. Even the word word, I think I mentioned that to you. I mean, the word word, if you think about all the different senses of the word word,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just dozens and dozens and dozens of them. And most of them are abstract, metaphorical, even the whole concept of word, which linguists can't even define, but we all know what it is.
But yeah.
But we can't define it.
Right, so like the most basic thing linguists are trying to talk about, they can't agree about what it even means.
I
think I see this, you know, having gone to seminary, sometimes, I mean, I think, hey, if people are asking for my two bits of advice in this, get your kid learning, you know, Latin, Greek, Hebrew as soon as possible. With that said, in seminary, people will try to hide behind their learning and trap these words. So they think, like, if I use the word logos, like I'm some big shot that knows Greek for the word word, they act like somehow they've washed their hands of this dilemma. But, I mean, anybody who knows Greek knows that logos is just as problematic as the word word, if not even more so.
Not more so, yeah.
And
I do is read the Gospel of John, does
it? Right, exactly.
Much, yeah.
And, you know, not to go too off track here, but I think what we start, you know, what starts to be interesting about human languages is, because I think people are going to be like, what commonality are you talking about? Until you notice really weird ones. So I always like to point out to people, and you can correct me how wrong I am this, but for many languages, the one irregular verb you will universally have is to be, like isness, mm-hmm. like existence itself. Almost never follows the rules of the rest of the verbs.
Yes. Well, languages that have it always have it irregularly, I think.
And so, you know, I think word starts being that too. It's like, there's just these things that human beings keep butting up against that, like, we realize that we're lacking. And if people at home, so to speak, listening to this, if you can take that sort of bewilderment and, like, childlike awe that language can really put us all in, that's the attitude that I think Mark is trying to get from you in the gospel. The gospel of Mark can be so exasperating, but it can also be so awe-inspiring in precisely the way that you're talking about.